Yo-ho, Brokey, what's happening? Today we've actually got a guest on the show. We've got Travis Ost. He was supposed to be here last week. He was not due to some issues that he had at the house and everything. But hey, Travis, we got you here. You're finally here.
I made it.
Yeah. Everybody who's listening, if you want to follow him on Twitter, it's at TK Ost is back. And on Mixer, if you ever want to watch him play video games, he is the Retro Gamer on Mixer. Dad, I know Dad said he was changing his batteries. Did he ever come back?
No, I see that he's actually
muted over
his
there.
His mic X'd out.
Yeah. So okay. Well, either way, we'll jump into the show and just kind of get started without him, and he'll join us in a little bit. So first part, Travis, we kind of talk about our past week. This is a time just really, you know, normally it's just me and my dad just kind of catching up and stuff. So I'll get us started. This last weekend, we actually had a huge block party that our neighborhood puts on. It's called the Boil in the Hood. And yeah, it's crazy. There's like 30 or 40 dads in the neighborhood. We all get together and we pitch in some money, and everybody who participates or who is like a host gets 10 people that they can invite to this party. So you figure based off of that, it's anywhere from 300 to 400 people. Plus, then we give out some armbands to people just around the neighborhood. So sometimes it can get up to around 400 people that shuffle in and out of this thing. We have all kinds of food. There's like, we do, I think it's like 600 pounds of crawfish, tons of potatoes and corn. And I mean, it's crazy. And then we also have like a fry line that we get set up where they go through and they fry a bunch of stuff. They have fried shrimp, fried fish, French fries. And everybody who comes, you don't have to pay for it. It's already covered. You just go in and you eat. We have a band. It's freaking crazy. So that's pretty much like all day Saturday. I literally get up at 7:30 in the morning, and we don't leave that thing until 10, 11 o'clock at night. We have a bunch of people. The bad part about it is on Sunday, we come in and we have to clean all of that crap up. And it doesn't really take too long. In this particular instance, I think we got done. We were done by like 1 o'clock, and we didn't start cleaning until 9:30 or so. But there's like tons of trash. And again, since you're dealing with crawfish and oysters, the trash is just, oh man, it is some of the most rank trash you have ever dealt with in your entire life. It is so bad. But
at least it's not in the middle of summertime.
No, but it was 80 degrees here when we were cleaning up.
Oh man.
Yeah. So it was pretty bad. But, other than that, it was pretty easy going weekend after that. I watched some baseball and just kind of hung out and just chilled out at the house. Didn't do anything crazy. No remodeling of closets or anything going on. So it was pretty chill after that. How about you, Travis?
We had the Daffodil Festival up here in Gloucester. And we had about 10,000 people Ooh. This year show up.
Crazy.
Yeah. It's like the big deal here in Gloucester.
What do they do? Like, what is the purpose?
We have a lot of daffodils. It's like Gloucester's flower. We have a lot of those. We have fields of them. And people come over and from all over the area, you know, Hampton Roads area, even up there towards Richmond, come down, and they have a big festival with, like, you know, games for kids and lots. Too much food. Too much food.
Right.
You know, just like local vendors and people who like people who craft their own beers and stuff like that. It was a good time.
Yeah. Did you buy anything?
Food.
Just food.
That was about it. Yeah. We looked at some stuff, and then of course some of the stuff was way overpriced. I'm like, I'm not spending $70 for a sign to hang up at my house. Yeah, exactly.
They're very proud of their keychains though. So
yeah, they had people bust in from, you know, up the road at other school. It was a big deal.
Yeah, well, that's pretty cool. And it looks like Dad's not back, so we'll skip over him, and he can just join into the conversation a little bit later. The first thing I wanted to talk about was NFL. Obviously, I believe the draft is either, I think it's next week the draft starts, or it's real close to a week away. And, you know, you kind of hear all these pundits and everything start talking about complete and utter nonsense with regards to drafts and who's going to pick what. And one of the ones I saw come across my news feed was the Giants. There was a rumor, and it was kind of, he kind of prefaced it with he didn't think it was actually going to happen, but due to the fact that Russell Wilson was in negotiations with the Seahawks and he was on like the last day of some, you know, some deadline that he gave them, that there could be a possibility that the Giants might try to trade to get him. And the trade that this guy had proposed was like the Giants trading both of their first round picks. So that's the number 6 overall and the number 17 overall. A second round pick in this draft, and then a second round pick from next year for Russell Wilson. And
To be fair, though, isn't Russell Wilson in his prime right now as far as quarterbacks go?
He is. He's 30 years old, and he is now going to be, I believe, the highest paid player in the NFL. So yes, absolutely, he is in his prime. That is a
and do you think,
by the way,
do you think he should be paid as the top quarterback in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, I think he is. I think he is a very good quarterback. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He did lead the Seahawks to a Super Bowl, but I wouldn't want to trade two first round picks, a late second round pick, and then a second round pick from next year for a team that is in all accounts should be rebuilding, right? They need to be starting from the ground up. They need to be working again. I mentioned this in a previous recording
did. Let me just say something that, you know, with their record being at 10-6 last year and with them signing Russell, that the future for the Seahawks are looking pretty good, in my opinion.
No, absolutely.
10-6 last year.
I agree.
No. With the rebuilding, I'm talking about the Giants, not the Seahawks.
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. I'm saying a team in the Giants that should be rebuilding should not be trading away, you know, top draft picks in the current draft and in the future draft to be able to pick a quarterback, even Russell Wilson, who's worth it.
Well, I think that maybe New York is just looking for that instant power. They don't have to try to get the bugs out of the people they pick up. It's automatic, you know, number one, people going to want to watch Russell Wilson play. That's going to be a big move.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Big market for them.
Yeah. But the thing is they just traded away Odell Beckham Jr. for these draft picks. If you were trying to be somebody who's actually going to be competing, that's not the move that you're going to make. You're not going out to even for, again, all the respect in the world for Russell Wilson. I think he's worth the contract. I think that he's a phenomenal player. I just don't think that he's the right fit for the Giants at this particular cost. I think that the Giants need to load up on defense. They need to make sure that, in my opinion, if they trade any of these picks away and they go for a quarterback early in the first round of the draft, I'm saying it here, I'm not going to be a Giants fan anymore. I'm over it. I've been with them for as long as I have. I've dealt with a lot of the BS that they've gone through with regards to the organization itself. And if they do that, man, I just can't. I cannot justify being a fan.
Well, I have a question for you then. If you weren't going to be a Giants fan, where would you go?
I mean, I might go XFL, Detroit. Man.
No, it's gonna be the Colts.
I honestly have no idea, but I would definitely. I mean, the Falcons might be a decent choice because they're pretty close. Tennessee Titans. It's also something locally that would be interesting to look into. But I couldn't justify being a Giants fan. I've been a Giants fan since I was like 3 years old. Three or four years old.
I remember.
Yeah, and it's just. Over the years, I can't possibly get behind it. I think that this year, of all years, they need to double down on defense. At least with the number 6 overall, they need to pick somebody on defense. And then,
from what I understand, that they didn't even notify Eli of trading Odell away.
Yeah, I mean,
that he found out through something to the effect of Facebook media or Twitter.
That's the worst way to find out about that.
Well, that's the unprofessionalism of the New York Giants organization.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's true.
And so, you know, again, Russell Wilson, he signed the long-term contract with Seattle. That's no longer really on the on the table anymore. But I'm just saying, even if the, if there's something else that's comparable to that, if they trade the number six overall, or if they trade like the number 17 and the number six to move up, and then they draft someone like Haskins, I mean, I'm gonna lose it. I'm gonna lose it.
Let me get both of y'all's feelings and opinions on the way that these players now, whether it be the NBA or the MLB, or in this case with Russell Wilson in the NFL, stating and making demands that, you know, you have a deadline to make a decision whether to extend my contract or trade me. With the Pittsburgh players stating, you know, if you don't trade me or you don't extend my contract or renegotiate my contract, I'm not going to play this year. I'll just sit out my last year unless you do something about it. I just cannot believe that these players are making their demands on where they want to go, how much they want to get paid. If you don't extend my contract now, just I'm going to either sit out or trade me, you know, and that's what's going on in the whole professional.
It is the whole landscape.
It's now. Yeah,
it is. They're all pre-Madonnas, and that's because from this young age, they've been treated like they were better than everybody else and I deserve whatever I want. And now all of us, you know what I mean? And that's not good.
No, it's something's got to be done within all the leagues that the players don't have control of the leagues, you know, and that's where it's going now.
Yeah. And so with regards to that topic, though, and how these players are able to dictate that, I think they should be able to. Is that not the general consensus?
No, we're going to have to disagree very heavily on that one.
Yes, and he did say we.
Yeah, we.
Look, here's the thing.
Just imagine if you went to you told them, well, I'm not going to work. It doesn't work that way. Like, just because, and they get paid millions of dollars to play a kid's game. I respect it.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're getting paid millions of dollars. People would kill for that job. And you're going to be a prima donna and sit out and have a hissy fit over something like that.
Yeah, and I will play devil's advocate on that, though, okay? You're right. They do play a kid's sport, and they make millions of dollars doing it. In this particular instance, Russell Wilson didn't say, hey, if you don't sign this contract, if you don't get the contract negotiations underway, I'm not going to play. What he said was...
He did give him a deadline.
He did. The
it
deadline...
Was like a week or two.
The deadline was... I want to have a contract negotiation in place. I'm sick of playing these games. If you guys want to keep me in this organization, we need to make the deal now.
And still having 1 year left on his contract that he stated or that he signed on the dotted line that he would go by that contract until the end of the contract.
He did not say that he was not going to play. No, listen.
That's how contracts work.
Listen. He did not say, I will not play if you guys don't get the contract negotiations in place. He said, if you don't do it by that day.
Le'Veon Bell did, didn't he?
No, listen.
He did, and that was ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm talking specifically with Russell Wilson.
Where do you think this was going to go if they didn't renegotiate his contract in 2 weeks?
Then he was saying that no. He said he was just not going to entertain conversations about a long-term extension.
The Seattle Seahawks fans is what he was not going to entertain.
No. He said he was not going to listen, this is business. This has nothing to do with fans. But he said he was not going to entertain a contract extension or contract talks until the offseason. And that by that time, he would start to field free agency contracts. And then the Seahawks lose all negotiation power at that point. Because now you've got other teams and they've got the ability to come in and they're going to start to counter. And he's going to get paid. Like that was the bottom line is he was going to get paid. I think here's the thing. This is a business. You have these guys who, yes, they could be, there are millions of people who would kill to play the sport that they're playing for the type of money they're playing. Unfortunately, those millions of people don't have the ability to play at the level that Russell Wilson plays. If you could, you'd be in the market to do that. I don't think that doesn't impact whether or not a player should have the leverage to talk and to to basically use that leverage to negotiate contract deals. You have to also think about the fact these owners are, in a lot of cases, either hundreds of millionaires up to billionaires, right? They have the money. It's not a matter of you know, if we don't pay Russell Wilson whatever his contract is, that, you know, the owner's kids are going to starve, right? Or he's not going to get his extra yacht or whatever the case is. These players, they're not benefiting from the fact that they're bringing all of this, you know, this skill to the game. And so they're just trying to bring that into it. That's my thing. That's why I say that for sure. I think that he should be able to at least have the conversation to say, listen, if you don't sign me to, if you don't give me the contract that I want now to extend me long term and be able to protect me long term in this organization, then I'm not going to entertain anything for the season. I'm still going to go out there. I'm going to play every game this season. I'm still going to go out there and give it everything I got on Sunday to try and get us to the Super Bowl. But once this is done, I have the option to go somewhere else.
So what you're saying is that if they didn't extend his contract this coming up season, that he was going to play 100%?
Yeah,
or was
absolutely.
He pissed off and say, you know what, I'm so pissed off that, you know, I'm going to play mediocre?
He's in the final year of a contract before going into free agency in his 30th year. You think he's going to play half-ass? He's going to try to make it so that he can go out there and get Bryce Harper type money. He doesn't, you know, he's not going to, there's no way. It actually even benefits the Seahawks for him to not sign that and for him to go out there and try to play the best football he can. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't think that he would play 50% on the football field. He's a competitor.
Hang on. Before you go any further, we were going to talk about the decline of the ratings in the NFL. But yep. I kind of want to, because do you think what we're talking about right now has an impact on people caring about the sport? Is that there's such that's what I mean. Like, there's so many arguments about they're making $35 million. They're making tons and tons of money, and they're going out there and they're phoning in their plays. They don't come to play like Bell didn't. Like, real, this right there, you're looking as a fan, you're like, this is ridiculous. Like, why? They don't care. They don't care.
Yeah. No, I mean, I get that, and I see that, and that's why there are arguments that's why, at least here in the South, out here in Alabama, why individuals like college football more than they like the NFL. They feel like the players feel like they've got more in it, like they've got more stake because they're trying to play their best so that they can get to the next level. I think there are arguments on both sides of that. With using the AAF as an example, the level of competition at the NFL is just vastly better than the level of competition that's at the college football level. And you saw that expressed pretty evidently in AAF. They had some NFL level defenses playing against college level offenses, and the scores just reflected that they weren't very high scoring games. The defenses were making it was fantastic if you're a fan of the defense, right? But they were, it's like,
and fans aren't fans of the defense.
No, they're not. They want to see high scoring games.
That sucks. And that's the thing, is that I would like to watch. I love football. I played football almost my entire life. And I look back at, but I love to watch a real football game and have the whole thing go through without, you know, every 5 minutes someone throwing a flag about, you know, mm-hmm. a challenge mm-hmm. flag. And you have to go to the booth to look at the replay for 15 minutes, come back after, you know, whatever. That breaks in a football game.
For sure.
You know?
Yeah. Wow. We're going to have Travis on our podcast more often, because we're pretty much on the same page on that kind of crap.
Oh, yeah. So you can gang up against me. Okay. I hear you. Well, speaking of that a little bit.
That's exactly the way I think.
A couple of other topics, because, again, I don't want to get too much into the NFL ratings ones, because we're going to talk about that in a little bit.
Hold on, PJ. You're getting mad. We got to throw the flag, Travis.
Yeah. but one of the topics that came across my news feeds today was a discussion about how they're trying to use computers to level the playing field from a fairness standpoint in NFL schedules, which I thought was pretty interesting. So they're given penalty points, not like physical penalty points, but as far as the algorithm goes, you get negative points for your or your schedule is more difficult. If, for instance, you have three road games in a row, if there are games between two teams that have different types of rest, so if you had a team that played Thursday the previous week and then they play Sunday the next week, they got some extra days of rest, you get some negative points for that. Distance traveled between games was one of the factors, the different variables that they put into
it. Of course, like playing over in England.
Yeah, like things like that. So you get tired.
Wait, this is already broken. I don't know if you guys saw that the Green Bay Packers only played two home games of the season.
Totally.
To me, that's absolutely – yeah, that I just read it. Only two home games of the last seven games.
Oh, okay. Last seven games. Yeah. No. Now, yeah. To be clear, this is not in place right now. This is something there was a company that was given a grant to be able to try and do this. Now, one of the things to keep in mind with this too, like there's more possible NFL schedule combinations than there are atoms in the universe. Okay? Like granted you can exclude large swaths of the schedule based on things because like certain days the stadiums are used for things like concerts and, there are other activities that happen at the stadium where a game just can't happen. Like the owners use it for other activities as well. But I mean, that's a lot of combinations to go through to find, quote unquote, the most optimal schedule. Now, I will agree, having two home games in your out of your last seven is rough. That is a tough pill to swallow with regards to
Look at your record.
Yeah, keeping
because that's really tough to win those five games on the road at the end of the season where you have everybody's banged up, and you know what I mean. That's tough for Green Bay, especially because they're going to have to go play the Bears and they're going to have to go do that. You know what I mean? That's tough.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's
well, and we're talking about traveling. Okay, so if you look at the NFC East, okay, what is Dallas? All the way down in Dallas, Texas, playing the New York, Philly, Washington teams. I mean, does that make sense?
I would say no, it does not.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
I can understand the Raiders playing the Broncos and, the Chargers in the AFC West, but with that type of a division with Dallas playing New York, Philly, Washington. They need to maybe rearrange some of the divisions.
Yeah, I think that they could do that.
You're right.
I know they've done that in baseball in the past to get teams to be more aligned with what they're actually playing from a regional standpoint. The big thing there though is that's been that way for so long that I mean I don't know that you're going to see too much movement there.
If you remember, the Colts used to be in the same division as the Patriots.
Yeah.
I forget where Seattle used to be. Where Seattle used to be when they were in the AFC?
I'm not sure, but we can look.
Let's see. Seattle used to be in the AFC.
The AFC West.
Back in
which makes sense.
Yeah, that would make sense. But, they might.
I think they changed it when they introduced.
You'd be surprised.
What team? They had added a new team. The last team they added to the NFL was when everything got wonky and they started moving teams around.
Carolina, wasn't it? North Carolina.
The
Panthers?
Texans. I think.
Oh, Texans.
Yeah, that's what I would say. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I mean, I think it's pretty interesting though that they're trying to utilize computers to look for those kind of things and point them out and make it more fair where you'd hopefully. In the next 3 to 5 years, maybe we won't see schedules where, the Green Bay Packers are only playing two home games in their last five. Because that is tough. But on the flip side of that, they will have several home games at the front side. It just depends on how those play out with some timing issues as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, since you're a Giants fan, what do you think about the Giants not having one Sunday night game all season?
I mean, that's probably good, right? For them, it's depending on when the rest of their games kind of fall if they're playing Monday night games and playing a Thursday night game 1 week and then they get a Monday night game the following week. That's really good for them, unless it's like the back to back.
But not against the team that they're playing that following game.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're going to need all the help they can get. Okay, so I'm on board with it right now. Now, here's the thing: if they trade up to get a quarterback, I'm going to be pissed, and the gloves are coming off. So,
I think Eli's expecting that coming up on the draft, though.
Yeah, well, I really hope that they don't trade up to get a quarterback. That's my biggest thing. I think that they could go with. I think the quarterback class for 2020 is going to be good enough. I know there are a lot of fans out there that say they don't like to watch teams at the professional level tank, but it's definitely a strategy to do that and to get some younger guys some snaps and things like that, and then go out and try to get one of the quarterbacks that's going to be coming out in the 2020 draft, specifically Tua Tagovailoa from Alabama, but I'm biased, so.
Yeah, and New York should think about drafting a quarterback on this coming up draft because, Eli probably, in my opinion, has one, maybe at the max, two more years.
Yeah, he's 38.
In his career, so get a quarterback that you can school with a clipboard in his hand on the sidelines for about a year. Go into the second year, get him in third, fourth game, and just keep on going from there. That used to be the way that the NFL used to work.
Yeah.
All these old school quarterbacks that are playing right now, I guarantee you they had a clipboard in their hand that they didn't play two or three years before they even stepped on the field in a regular season game.
Yeah.
And nowadays they come out of college, they step on the field. Baker Mayfield, he's one of the few that's one that went straight from college to the NFL and can be successful with Cleveland next year. In my opinion, they're going to be pretty successful. But once again, back in the day, they used to sit on the sideline for a year or two and study the game plan, study how fast the game is as opposed to college.
Yeah,
and
that's because back in the day, they were dumb. These days, these kids, man, they know that they
get
learn
out of
this
here
stuff.
With that.
they've got Madden. They know the playbooks. They're golden.
Well, you remember they did this. Remember they did this with Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck. They basically forced Peyton Manning out so they could pull Andrew.
They did the same thing in New York.
There's no sitting time for him.
They did the same thing in New York, though, with Eli Manning and Kurt Warner at the time. Kurt Warner was the quarterback.
And some of them are very successful as, like a Dan Marino going straight in his rookie year. And if I'm not mistaken, you can correct me, but I think he went to the Super Bowl.
I don't know specifically, but I know another quarterback, who I don't particularly like, is Cam Newton. Well, we all know Dan Marino didn't win the Super Bowl, but Cam Newton
some of them,
was another one, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's definitely
those are far few between, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's just a whole different game.
Going back to people, Cam Newton quit that game. And it was very upsetting watching him play. Remember when he played and he gave up?
Yeah.
He's talking about getting paid millions of dollars, and he's just over there phoning it in.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to say because I will never, ever, ever, ever be put in that position, right? I won't know the mindset there. But it seems like I can understand where they might be coming from on that. Like, you already know that you're going to lose, and, that's the mindset is just, okay, well, let's phone it in and go next year. I'm not saying I agree with that at all.
They're entertainers. Yeah. Everybody remember, these people entertain us. Yeah. We pay you money to entertain us, and you're not entertaining me.
Yeah.
I hate to sound like that, but I mean, being serious, if you go to the movie and the movie sucks and they did a crappy job, you're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Same way when you're going to watch a football game, you're going to be like, this is horrible. No one cares.
Yeah. So with that, though, moving on to things that I think people are not going to care about, the XFL is coming up in 2020. And, I think that to me, there were a lot of things. I talked about this last week. There were a lot of things I liked about the AAF. I liked the fact that there were no kickoffs, no extra points, no onside kick, pace, and that you got the inside baseball view with being able to listen in on those replay calls, like you were saying earlier, Travis. where you actually can hear what they're talking about. You can hear the QB. Dad, I heard you had some issues with what pieces.
Well, once again, you just made the comment, no kickoffs.
Yeah, it's perfect. How many kickoffs go for touchbacks?
How exciting is that?
A touchback?
But were they excited? Were they just no? I'm sorry. Kickoff, not touchbacks.
Right.
They made that rule where they pushed it up about 10 yards where it just goes out of the end zone.
Mm-hmm. Why don't they move it back?
Fans, bring it back. Fans love it when they just collide. You know what? Sign a waiver before you even come into this league about your concussion protocols and your whatever you want to call it. Do you hear these other players from back in the days complaining about
no, because they can't put together a coherent sentence because they've been bashing their heads together. Let's be realistic. We're talking about human beings, okay? I'm not saying that I don't enjoy watching kickoffs, but my thing is that today's strategy.
Do you watch hockey?
No, I
don't.
That's
tough.
Okay, he got you there. Okay, so how many hockey players do you hear about complaining and they're wanting compensation from their injuries?
Again, we're talking no teeth, not making coherent sentences. Here's the thing. My thing is today's strategy with the kickoff is not to allow them to return the ball. So they kick it out of the end zone and they just touch it back and it goes to the 25.
Let's just not return the ball.
No, that's what I'm saying.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah, don't but return the ball.
I'm going to go back. They know they're playing a contact sport. It's not like this is a surprise. And they're like, wait a minute, you're about to hit me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's no like, you know you're going in there to get hit.
Yeah, no, that's I agree with that. But I think that you can eliminate some of those high-impact pieces of the sport. I watch UFC, all right? I watch a guy get kicked in the head and get knocked out. I'm not playing
I'm sure they sign waivers before they play that sport too.
Yeah, but my thing is just the reason why I like the kickoff going away is because you're not seeing returns that often. You're wasting all this time. It's 4 or 5 minutes in between.
Change the rule the way it used to be.
Then you're going to have them kicking it out of the end zone where you can't even return.
Wait a minute.
No,
you know what the problem with the face mask. I know it's going to sound crazy. Stick with me for a second. Do you remember when Pat Summerall said the problem with people getting concussions is the face mask? He goes, people leading with their head when they tackle, number one.
Yeah.
You take the face mask off the helmet and that will disappear. That crazy head, all the headshots and all that stuff will come to an end.
Yeah, because you can't go in with your face.
Yeah, that's
what I'm saying. The way they used to play with the leather helmets.
No, not necessarily leather helmet, but I know where Travis is going with that.
You know what I'm saying? Rugby's a very contact sport too, and they don't wear helmets. Yeah, you know, they don't get they hit each other really hard too.
There's a lot of concussions still going on there. I think they just don't address it. You want to talk about concussions? It's like you look at flag football, in youth sports, there are more concussions that occur in flag football than standard football. And that's 100% the case. Like there have been many studies with regards to that, because what happens is they just running out there and they bash heads. So I mean, the helmet does add some protection, okay, a little bit, but that's beside the point. That's not what I'm getting at. What I'm getting at is that today's current strategy with regards to the kickoff is to prevent the return man from ever touching the ball. You kick it out of the back of the end zone, and you can say, okay, well, let's not do no more touchbacks. If you kick it to the back of the end zone, they got to run it out. The problem is
What about the rules with the running back?
Which rules?
That he can't lower his head.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about kickoffs. I'm talking about
the rules of the NFL.
Right.
Of contacts. They have rules with the running backs that they can't like lower their heads for a certain contact. The players on defense can't hit the running back on a certain position, you know, not necessarily helmet to helmet, but you just can't hit them certain ways. and the running back.
The same way you can't tackle the quarterback unless you stand up and make a football stance. You can't be on your knees to make a tackle anymore. It's the same thing. They're taking football out of football.
No, and I agree. Yeah, I am agreeing with those 2 points. That's not what I'm talking about. The thing that I love about the AAF was the fact that they took the kickoff away. They just put the ball in the 25, which is going to happen 80 to 95% of the time anyway, and removes all of the hubbub with the 3 to 4 minutes in between each possession where you just take the ball. It's already on that side of the field. You just turn around, walk to the 25, plant it, and boom, let's go. 30 seconds. Let's get this play going. That's the thing that I love. Again, I'm not talking about the fact that you got that.
Once again, I say bring back the kickoff. back the kicker. Back the kicker. About 10 yards back to where the receiver who's receiving the kickoff can receive the kickoff and run straight into the defense.
Okay, how about the 2-point conversion? No point after touchdown. You have to go for the 2-point conversion.
I like the 2-point conversion.
I don't know. I give them an option. I think it adds more strategy to be able to do a field goal and get the extra point, or go for
that,
two.
That is strategy. One or two, either the extra point or the 2-point.
I kind of like the way the NFL did. I like the 2-point conversion and always going for it, but I do like that the NFL brought their current point after touchdown back and made it more difficult for the kickers. It's not an automatic, so you know it makes you think about it a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, that goes back to Bill Belichick. Remember, he was trying to get rid of that. A couple of years ago, he says it's pointless, and he wanted to get rid of it.
Yeah, I agree. And
he's also a cheater.
Yeah, he is. I mean, that's why you can't. It's hard to cheat on a point after touchdown.
We're not gonna get into that. I just want to throw that in there.
Deflate gate.
Yeah. Spygate. So, how many gates we got?
So with that, with that, right? So those are the things that I liked about the AAF, and you guys can hate on them all day long. But with the XFL, this is something I just don't see happening, right? The AAF wasn't able to do it. The main thing that I don't like about the XFL, being perfectly honest, there's no Birmingham team. We don't have anything here. We had an AAF team.
That's okay? A very good point. But think about us. We have no teams. Nowhere.
Yeah, that's true too. And, you know, there was an opportunity. They were actually talking about doing an expansion for the AAF into Richmond. That was one of the expansion teams that were going to be discussed. But granted, they obviously got a little bit too far ahead of the cart there because obviously the team or the league folded.
Well, the AAF was so poorly thought out. Like, how do you not have the money allotted
to get through week 2
season? Yeah. Well, how does that happen? And that means they tried to, it sounds like it was a scam to me almost. They scammed all these people. And I know it's probably not, but it just looks at it like that way. What if you were opening up a business and you had no plan whatsoever? Like, you go to the bank, like, I need a loan. And then you have no plan. What's your business plan? I don't know. We're just going to do it.
Yeah, no business plan. Like, we'll make it happen.
Yeah, we're just going to make it work. Trust me.
Yeah, it's football. It's football. Yeah. You know, look, football's the greatest. Football's a multi-billion dollar industry.
We're going to compete against the NFL.
No, we talked about that last week. They're not competing against the NFL. They don't compete against the NFL. They were supposed to be a complement to the NFL. They were supposed to be like a minor league.
Football fans are football fans.
But didn't the Players Association end up screwing the AAF?
Yeah, they were going
isn't
to
that
be.
What ended up happening?
Yeah, they were supposed to feed players into the AAF from their practice squads, and they backed out of that particular piece of the deal, and that's why, again, I don't like Tom Dundon or whatever the hell his name is, but the fact of the matter is he stood his ground. I mean, he was expecting to get those players to be able to make the AAF a more competitive league. And the NFLPA said, no, we're not giving you those guys. And they tried to say that they didn't have the ability from their
negotiating standpoint.
Yeah, like their union, the way their union was set up, they weren't able to do it.
That's crap.
I don't know. But the fact of the matter was that they weren't going to feed them. And so Tom pulled the plug and was like, no, we're just.
So in reality, it wasn't a AAA affiliate NFL.
Not in season one, it was not. It was going to be in future seasons, and that's what Tom was trying to expedite a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, I have a question about the XFL then.
Yeah.
How is their relationship going to be with the Players
Association? Zero. Yeah, none. Yep. They want nothing to do with the NFL. I mean,
the only thing I feel that's going to save the XFL is that Vince McMahon, everybody, you know, he is a great businessman. He makes millions of dollars, and he sees how the NFL is kind of waning. We already talked about how, you know, he's trying to cut all the fat off.
Yeah.
He's already said that. And I appreciate that. And I will give the XFL a chance because of those words, because of that very reason. And I think maybe other people like myself will too.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing.
If it'd be successful, I don't know.
They already have all of the places where they're planning on putting an XFL team already has a professional football team in place. Okay. They're doing Dallas. They have Houston. They've got LA, New York. St. Louis, the Rams moved to LA, so maybe that I'll say they don't, right? But Seattle, Tampa Bay, and DC, all of those places, with the exception of St. Louis, markets. They're huge markets, but they've already got a professional football team in place. They're not hitting regions or areas that don't have football teams. And so to me, that's kind of, that's one of the reasons why I'm not such a huge fan about it, but.
Do you think that was the downfall of the AAFL?
No, the downfall of the AAF was the fact that they just didn't plan out the financial piece of it.
No, they had no money. Like, no money.
Yeah, I mean, it was in the second week. Again, we talked about that a little bit last week. In the second week, that's when Tom came on and he infused $250 million into the league. All speculation was the fact that they couldn't make payroll at that point, and that was already the point of contention. And so, you know, I know that the board member who, like the president of the board or whatever, came out and said, no, that wasn't the case. We were looking for some funding to be able to do, you know, get into some expansion leagues and stuff. But I think it was all just kind of it's just all posture.
Smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
But so another thing with the XFL, though, right? All the stadiums are large capacity. They're all like in the 20 to 30,000, some of them 40,000 seat range. And, you know, it is what it is. But in my best case scenario for a smaller, lower league like this are, you know, stadiums with 10 to 12,000. And if you look at my thought process behind this is using the Birmingham Iron from the AAF kind of as the gauge for that. They had five home games. They played all five of their home games, and they averaged 14,000 fans in attendance among, you know, for each one of those games. They did have one week where it was like 6,000, but that's included in that 14,000 number that I have. And, you know, to me, that's like the sweet spot. You have like 12 to 15,000 right there, and you can, you know, you get the feel of the stadium. It looks like it's full. It looks like they've got a lot of stuff going on. And then you focus on the streaming portion. Because me, personally, I love watching football at home on my lounger with a beer in my hand, yelling at my projector, you know, from the house. That's my experience. That's what I like. I do know that people like to go to the game. They like to tailgate. And that's what those 10 to 12,000 seats are for. You give them the opportunity to do that.
It goes back to, it's a business.
Yeah.
So sure. What do businesses do? They try to grow.
Yeah, sure. I agree.
Okay. So you start off with the 10 to 12,000. Is the league going to be content with that?
I mean, if every time you look into the stands and they look empty, right? You're trying to put off a presentation. Point. If every time it looks empty, you're like, nobody cares about this. Right?
If you have a 20,000 seat stadium and it's only half full and you're watching it from TV, you're like, man, nobody cares.
Yeah.
Because it looks like nobody's there.
We have a soccer team here, the Birmingham Legion. Their stadium holds 5,500 people, right? It looks packed out every single game that you watch. You look in the stadium and there's people going crazy. It's loud. It's really, really close and, you know, intimate atmosphere. It's awesome. It's actually really, really fun. And I know I don't think either of you follow soccer at all. Do you? I don't follow soccer outside of the Birmingham Legion, to be honest with you. But
no, you know my thoughts on soccer, man.
Yeah, I know. it's a wrong kind of football.
Didn't you, Travis?
No.
Travis. Did soccer? You used to play soccer?
No.
Yeah. No.
No. Absolutely. No. Yeah.
Kicked.
You hurt my feelings with that. Actually.
I think that those types of things. I agree with you that they want to be able to grow and expand. But I feel like you have to find a way to grow and expand outside of that. I think that especially with today's youth, I think streaming is going to be a huge piece of any business plan that gets put together for any kind of league or sport. I think that's going to be very, very important.
Let me, let me just give you my final opinion on this subject is that I just don't think that the XFL or the AAF will not be able to compete against the NFL at this point. Because the NFL bottom line has a large group of sponsorships, and the, in my opinion, the fan base is in the NFL is they're content right now, you know?
Well, I think that that kind of goes into the topic that Travis wanted to bring up, right? That the, about the NFL ratings. So, you know, I couldn't find anything that really kind of hit home with some of the stuff that me and Travis had talked about it a little bit. So I just went and tried to get a little bit of some stats and things like that. And so I started in 2013 and I have the stats for viewership all the way to 2018. From 2013 to 2015, they actually increased in viewership, right? 1.1% increase in 2014, 1.7% in 2015. 2016 is where it got really kind of rocky, right? They dropped significantly. It was like a 7.8% drop from 2015 to 2016 with viewership. 2016 to 2017, another huge drop. They went 10.3% fewer viewers game to game than they had in the previous season. And then 2017 to 2018, they actually had an increase in viewership of 6.8%. But if you go to 2015, which was their best year in the past 5 years, they're still down 11% from that number. So, you know, you get the green arrow saying, yeah, well, you know, we've had an increase from the year 2017 to 2018. I think we're turning this thing around, but still you're 11.5% lower than the best year you had just 3 or 4 years ago. You know, I think one of the big things that we wanted to talk about were some of the reasons. And Travis, I wanted to give you an opportunity to just kind of talk a little bit why you think that this is kind of the case.
Oh, I have plenty to say on it. I'm glad you asked me. but before we get there, I want to bring up something real quick. Get your tinfoil hats on, okay? Just put them on real quick.
Your Debo hats, huh?
I'm just going to ask a question. You know, these numbers, the decline and stuff like that, isn't the population in the United States and the world in general growing exponentially?
Yes.
But the numbers aren't going up like they should? That means they're actually losing people. Not many people are watching the NFL anymore.
Yeah.
And they're going to other mediums. They're going to esports. They're watching more streaming. You're talking streaming. I think streaming is going to be the absolute linchpin. Or if I can turn on Mixer or Twitch and watch any football game I want or any sports game would be the way to go. I think that would bring viewership and engagement with the fan base a lot.
And well, to touch on that a little bit, though, I think that one of the main reasons you're seeing that is the increase in utilizing streaming platforms. I'm not going to go into the dark web and talk about some of those, those sources and things like that, just because I don't want anybody to think that I know about those very well, you know, whatever. But realistically, that's where this generation is going for their media. They're looking for streaming. They don't want to pay $120 for a cable subscription just to be able to watch football when they can go on to anywhere on the web and find a high def, very, very high quality stream of the game and not have to pay anything but their internet, which they're already going to be paying for because they can't live without the internet, right?
Just being able to watch a game and on Mixer or Twitch or DLive or any of these other streaming services, you can interact with other people as you're watching it.
Yep.
That would be the future of watching sports to me. Imagine watching a UFC fight and you're talking to 1,500 people in a chat room about what's going on and who they think is going to win, or you could have live polls as you're watching it, like interactive type stuff that you just don't have.
Yeah.
You just turn on the TV and watch it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You
know?
And you can actually FaceTime each other during that time, right?
Yeah, you could, sure.
You absolutely could.
NFL tried to do this with Twitter in probably around 2015, 2016. Do you remember that? Every game had a hashtag, and the intent was to have this live stream that you could watch. And that was just a poor implementation of something that can be great. Because I know with MLB specifically, they have game day threads on Reddit. And if you go to the game day thread, they have people who are basically posting live in there, and you can see it go through and everything like that. And they're fun to watch. But it's tough for me being an MLB TV subscriber because my feed is about, you know, a minute, let's say a minute and a half off. And so I'll see when a home run or a big play is going to come because I'm watching that game day thread. So there's a little bit of there's still some things that need to be worked out with that with regards to the timing. But I agree with you 100%. I think it's fantastic when you can get in there with a bunch of fans and be able to have comments about whatever activity you're watching, whether it be a sports match or watching people even play video games sometimes.
But I, to get back on topic, I didn't mean to take that way left field with the streaming stuff. But I wanted to talk about why I think the NFL is declining. And, you know, I was reading some stuff on Forbes earlier, and they don't think it really is, but I do. You can go around and talk to people that you know when you're, well, don't watch football like they used to. And I'm one of those people.
Yeah.
I used to watch football every day, or every Thursday, Saturday, or Sunday and Monday. My butt was in the couch and I was watching football. But these last couple of years, I've got to the point where the stoppages, the weird times they had the games come on, like on Sunday night. I have work in the morning and you have a game coming on at like at 9:30.
Yeah.
Come
on, man. I think a part of that too, we're both aging out of that group, right? I mean, we both have kids now. It's a lot more difficult to sit down when you have kids. I think that's part of it too.
Yeah, you're right. But also like the political aspect of it. And I didn't want to go here, but I can't avoid it. You can't miss it. It's like a wall in the road. You got to hit it. I'm just saying, like, the political aspect of everything, they're trying to be super inclusive and they're trying to do all these things. I'm like, I don't care about any of that. I don't care about Colin Kaepernick. He's out of the league. Why are we even talking about him anymore? He was a mediocre quarterback at best. but it's force fed down our throat. And the fact is that they're talking about like the overall play. You can't tackle people anymore. You can't play. There's so many things in place that make the game more boring and drawn out than it needs to be.
I agree.
So there was a really interesting point. This is kind of not a counter to that. I definitely.
No, go ahead, man.
Some people are talking, you know, they say they point to politics, but I think it's deeper than that. Or maybe even more surface level. It's probably the other way. It's more surface level than that. You have some really large market teams that have been playing very poorly over the last 5 years, right? You have the Jets who haven't been very good. The Giants haven't been very good. 49ers, Bears, those are all huge, large market teams that have huge fan bases, but those fans aren't going to watch the games, especially towards the middle to end of the season, if their teams aren't performing. And so you're gonna lose the interest of those, especially the casual fans who follow those large market teams. You don't have any diversity of the teams playing in the Super Bowl. The Patriots have been in the last four five
correct.
Super Bowls. I don't want to see Tom Brady play in the Super Bowl. I'm so sick of him. The only thing I like about
And kiss the owner. Wasn't that weird?
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. I'm sick of it. I hate the Patriots. I don't want to see them there. Yeah, you can say, well, a lot of people feel the same way about the Crimson Tide. I like them. I live in Alabama. You kind of just get boiled into it. So I get that. So maybe I could understand New England fans who live up in the Northeast that like the Patriots. But you have people who are all over the country who like the Patriots that are just like bandwagon fans, the same ones who like the New York Yankees. Another topic that I saw was, you know, people talking, and we touched on this a little bit earlier in the podcast about player health. But I can't agree with that particular reason very much either, because here, again, in my little echo chamber out here, college football is not dying off. And if people were worried about player health, that would be a huge concern here in the SEC with college football, and you're not seeing that everybody, they were just out there for the 8A game. They were sold out there. People were standing around on the there's like a walkway or whatever. People were all standing on that.
Hang on, you brought up a good point.
I know
college football. And no, you did. College football is still super popular down there.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
So I will say, based on my experience, the primary reason...
I'm talking about as far as the game goes.
Yeah, no. I think it's because a lot of the people out here also were alum of those colleges, and they go out there. It's close, right? I mean, Tuscaloosa is an hour, maybe hour and a half away. Auburn is the other direction, maybe hour and a half away, depending on traffic. Very close, easy to get out to. It's on a Saturday, so you got all day Saturday to go out there, tailgate, drink your beers, have some fun, and you got all day Sunday to recover. On football, it's Sunday night. It's going to be on at like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock my time. I'm not going to stay up until 11 o'clock when I got to go to work in the morning, which is something that you said.
I don't know if y'all have ever gone to an NFL game, but
no.
If you even go to a 1 o'clock game and you got to travel in my case from Virginia to go see a Redskins game, you know, it's like 3-4 hours away and get to the ballpark and then watch the game and then hit the traffic up in Northern Virginia, to go to a 1 o'clock game, you're probably getting back home around 1 o'clock game, it'll be about 9-10 o'clock in the evening. Now, if you hit the 4 o'clock game, you might as well even forget about going to work the next day.
Last one I went to, I didn't get home. It took us 2.5 hours to get out of the parking lot.
Just to get out of the parking lot. Yeah,
that was at FedEx Field.
Yeah. And then the last piece of it that I think it is, and I kind of touched on a little bit earlier, was, you know, they're not capturing cord cutters, right? And so the cord cutters are going to these less than legal streams. The stream quality of those streams is fantastic. It is high def. You're not going to tell any difference between that and your cable for sure. And instead of capitalizing on that market, that group of individuals, and providing them the ability to see it, they're trying to nickel and dime everybody, and, you know, CBS is coming out with their CBS Sports Network, and they've got, you know, in order to watch that, you got to pay $5 a month to get that that network, and then you've got Fox is going to come and try to do the same thing, and both of those networks currently are over-the-air free networks to watch because they're supported by ads, right? There's nothing different about the streaming content why you could not support that with ad revenue. And on top of that,
right,
you're not going to get these Nielsen ratings that say I have approximately 11 million people watching watching the show right now. You have exact numbers. You know exactly how many people, you know exactly what their IP address is, you know exactly where they're at in the United States. You get so much better
maybe
data.
Because then you can't fudge the numbers because you really know.
Yeah.
You can't lie to people then.
That's true. That's absolutely true as well. And maybe that's the thing that they're scared of, is that when you get real data like that, it gets a lot more difficult to lie about.
It gets real.
Yeah.
But I was also going to bring up the fact maybe if there is NFL fatigue. Do you know, we've been, you know, all of us, our entire lives, it's been football forever.
Yeah.
And the whole nation. Do you think maybe that Americans are just like, man, I'm just sick of football. You have football, high school football, college football, you know, just overall football all the time.
Yeah. I definitely agree with that sentiment. I think that that's probably a big piece of it. And I suggest everybody go try baseball. It's a great sport. it's one of my favorite to watch.
Isn't NASCAR having the same problem with retaining their viewership?
Yeah, but
they've lost a big fan base on that.
Yeah, but that's because that's another sport where they're trying to sissify it and make it so that you don't have these, and some of it, you know, not uncalled for, right? You have these cars that are going 200 miles per hour around the track, but they're, you know, they're preventing them from doing things like drafting, bumper to bumper drafting, going three wide, you know, and things like that they were using to get around the restrictor plate restrictions that they had.
Right.
Yeah, I've never been a NASCAR fan. I will watch it when it's on TV and I've got nothing else to do. I do want to go to Talladega here in Alabama one time because I hear it's a fantastic party to go to and it's great to people watch.
Oh, when I went to Richmond, I've been to Richmond two races there, and it is incredibly fun. Not even the race. The race is just kind of there. But everything else there is incredibly awesome.
Yeah.
It's a great time. And I'm not really a NASCAR fan, but it was a great time.
Yeah. So, but I think that it's going to be interesting over the next couple of years to see how the NFL is going to combat this. Obviously, their 2017 to 2018 numbers for them are an improvement. It is up 7% over that year. But they've still got a lot of ground to make up to get back to their 2015 numbers. And they haven't been as low as they are now in a long time. So I think it's going to be very important for them to figure it out and to capture the viewership and make people want to watch again. I think it's going to be really important. So was there any other topics that you wanted to touch on that, Otis?
I have a couple comments. LeBron is a punk. Can I put that in there?
Well, yeah, we seriously talked about that. You're talking about him getting shut down and not playing.
Yeah, well, the fact is he said, I'm going in playoff mode. Yeah, that was playoff mode, all right. He didn't – like, for someone who gets paid as much as he does, he goes out there and he acts like a – back to what me and Paul were talking about earlier was, you know – how ridiculous is that you get paid this much money and you just go out there, you do no effort and you do that. It's a strategy to get a better draft pick later. Well, yeah. Though then NBA has a lottery, right?
The lottery still, you get an opportunity to get that number one pick. That's the only way to do it is right. Tank.
Yeah. And then the fact is, you know, everybody talks about and when he said he was the greatest ever, I'm sorry, I'm going on a rant. Just hang on a second. Is the greatest ever is the biggest load ever. If you're going to go out there and play like that, you know what I mean? You're going to go out there and just give up. And he did it in the finals last year or the year before that. You know, come on, man. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've never seen, you know, nowadays you have these players where they're resting or they have this injury that really doesn't exist because they want to rest, whether it's from the owners or the GMs or the coaches that are making those decisions. Back in the day, let me tell you, you've never seen the Michael Jordans or the Magic Johnsons or the Larry Birds or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. They never missed a game because the coaches or the GMs wanted to rest them.
Yeah, here's the thing.
Nowadays it's rampant.
You guys are talking about how much these guys are getting paid. These coaches, these owners, they're protecting their investment. If you go out there, if you run,
and it wasn't an investment back then, I guess, huh?
It clearly wasn't as high of an investment. Or the piece of it is that like the strategy is different.
They're getting paid. They're getting paid to entertain us. And if I would be so mad if I just spent $70 to go to this basketball game to watch LeBron or Kobe, and I go in there and he's sitting down there all there by himself away from the rest of the team looking like a lump on a log. And I'm like, I came here to watch you play.
Yeah.
And not only you, but the other guys,
you.
What if you brought your 9-year-old kid who plays organized ball over where you live and his favorite player is LeBron, and you bought a ticket, you and him, as a father and son, time to go to that game. And at game time, they decided not to play him, and you paid how much for that ticket for you and your son?
Exactly.
For you, your 100% son to watch correct. His favorite player in the world that he looks up to, and they say, oh, it was game time. The coaches decided not to play him because his pinky toe hurt.
Hey, listen here. Here's the thing.
I've got a problem with that.
Timmy just learned a really valuable lesson in that instance, though. He learned about disappointment. He needs to get used to it because it's real life.
No, you sound like me. I tell my kids that all the time. Yeah. Like, life sucks.
Yeah,
get over it.
Yeah, just get over it. I'm sorry. You know, that happened. But you need to understand that in order for your favorite player to continue playing at the level that he's playing right now, he needs to get a rest. And you're talking about LeBron James, too. He's been in the league for as long as he has. You look at Kobe Bryant was doing very similar activities towards the end of his career. I don't know because I don't have the data in front of me, but I will definitely look it up after this to see how the playing time of some of those greats were towards the end of their.
Kobe's last game, I think he scored like 60 points.
In his last game, okay. But
you're right. You're right.
And the last game of the regular season.
Right. Okay. But I'm saying, what I'm saying is I bet that there were, I would venture to look at some of the data for some of the older players that you just mentioned and look at how their play time was towards the end of their career versus the prime of their career. And we're talking about LeBron James. He's been there forever. The dude has been playing basketball for a long time. And granted, he's still young, but
he started out of high school.
Yeah. I mean, he was 18 years old. 18 years old.
So that gives him 4 extra years.
No, that does not give him 4 extra years playing at that level.
Well, you know who else did that, don't you? Who else did that? Kobe did it.
Yeah,
Kobe. He came straight out of high school too.
Yeah, but I'm also saying that I think that he probably had similar playtime restrictions towards the end of his career. That's what I'm gonna look at that. I'm gonna check that for the next podcast. I'll have something on that.
Yeah, that'll be a subject.
Anything else before we start to wrap this up?
I think we covered quite a bit.
We did.
We did.
That was good.
That was a lot of fun. I'm really excited, Travis. You got to join us. This is our first guest.
Yeah, I had a great time.
Yeah, we, you know, like I said at the top of the podcast, we were trying to get this together and everything like that. Real quick, before we get off of here, some housekeeping stuff. Again, if you're trying to get a hold of myself or Dad, you can get us on email. I'm pj@pdubsquared.com. Dad is paul@pdubsquared.com. And you can hit me any of my social media accounts. I post on there. I'll have this up here shortly. We are going to try to do a couple more things with regards to kind of promoting this. I've got some ideas with some trying to do. I think there was a couple really interesting pieces I think I can chop up and have some fun, teaser trailer type things for the episode to try and get some people to be interested and listen to the whole thing. So I'm gonna try a couple different things. We've had a downturn of listeners lately. So both of you guys get out there on your social media and kind of help promote it and everything like that. I'll give some links and things like that. But yeah, thank you guys very much, Dad. I love you, and talk to you next week,
Travis. I enjoyed it.
It was really fun. I'm glad we ganged up on PJ. He deserved it.
Absolutely, we'll do it some more.